beautiful people. Welcome to Fantide, the podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I'm entertainment journalist, editor, authoress times two, Trayvell Anderson.
And I am both a giver and a receiver. Shout out to The First Life. We are getting into gift giving on the show this week. You see what I did there?
We all seen it.
We are talking about gift giving on the show this week, but talking about giving and receiving, Trayvell, you have sparked some controversy, some questions that we're going to get into in our first segment here.
Yes, so I wouldn't call it controversy. You know, one of the things I mentioned on the show last week was that, you know, I plan to do an erotic anthology at some point in my life. And I just, you know, zoomed back right on past it, hoping nobody would notice or listen to it. But we got some inquiries, and so I figured, you know...
Which is why you said it on a show that goes out around the world. Listen, you didn't want anyone to notice
You're not supposed to be paying attention to everything I say, just some things.
I don't.
So, one of the things that, you know, I happened to say in last week's episode was that I'm working on this, you know, alleged erotic anthology. And I just zoomed past it, thinking that nobody would pay attention to it. But we got a few inquiries about, you know, it.
A few? I've had dozens of DMs from people asking questions about you busting it wide open, about wanting to hear me do the Dipsy voice. Like, the people are excited about this anthology.
First of all, I does no dipping and no doing. But I thought it would be interesting to, like, you know, tell a little bit of stories that I'm thinking about, you know, popping into the anthology. And, you know... Oh!
Thank God for the holiday season. We don't have to hear that story.
I can't.
We're going to get into something a little bit different. We're going to be highlighting Black folks with businesses that we'd love for you to check out and support. Fantize Buying Black for the Holidays is starting right now. And up first, if you're looking for ways to take care of yourself with a little flavor, we've got something just for you. We want you to check out Cafe De La Hue. It's described as a cafe-themed empowerment brand that focuses on making change in community, focused on specifically helping to make you feel delicious. Mm. And what the fuck does that mean? We're gonna tell you. Glad you didn't ask quite yet. But primarily, I know Cafe De La Hue for being skincare, but they now offer merch and so much more. The products are imagined and created by one of the most beautiful people that you ever did see in your life. Mm-hmm. He is joining us now. Welcome to Fantide, Donahue. How are you?
What's up, y'all? I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad you guys are highlighting my business.
I'm so excited to get to have you on and to talk about your products. And first things first, tell us, where did you start with Cafe De La Hue?
So Cafe De La Hue started off as a fundraiser for AIDS Walk. In 2014, I was raising money, making bow ties and selling them so that I can raise awareness and donate proceeds to AIDS Walk Los Angeles. And then after that, I started making apparel, handbags, and just started to develop my wardrobe styling portfolio. And then it fast forwarded into me doing some more empowerment talking series, as well as empowerment with self-care and getting people to feel delicious from the inside out. So De La Hue is a branch of the brand that is focused on self-care and empowerment.
I will say, you know, we're not bringing Donnie here just because, you know, we know him and we're familiar, you know, with the product. I actually use Z products. Mm-hmm. I use the let me get the names right. I use the syrup.
Yep.
It's called syrup. It's like the little oils. It's the oils. And then I recently purchased Glacé?
Is
it called Glacé?
Yes.
So I've been incorporating that into my routine of late. And then another recommendation for y'all. He got this coffee body scrub situation. I don't even like the smell of coffee, okay? I actually find it, I don't drink coffee, y'all know this. But, baby, I felt like I was, you know, laying on the side of Queen Latifah in Last Holiday.
I love that. That is so cool. Thank you. Yes, all of the products, they're supposed to make you feel like that. So whatever that feels like for you, it's beautiful. And I'm grateful. I'm glad.
Donnie, talk to me about how you got started and, like, where this idea for it to be, like cafe themed? Like, how did that start?
So literally all of my creative endeavors have come to me at 4:44 in the morning. I was asleep, just trying to figure out like how I was going to kill two birds with one stone, raise money without asking people for it. And I love coffee shops. I get all of my inspiration from coffee shops and cafes, just being there and observing people, figuring out like, you know, who likes what, how people's styles and flavors are. And being obsessed with coffee and just being in the space of art and inspiration and creativity, I thought it would be clever to make and name all of my products and all of the things that I create under this brand, name them after something edible or something you could find in a coffee shop, because I just really wanted people to be inspired.
I'm going to refrain from making a Jay-Z reference here and just zoom right on past that 444 and ask you from your vantage point as we should say with your skincare products, like, you're making these. This isn't, you know, you're not repackaging, you know, Trader Joe's.
Yes.
You are making it from scratch. Could you tell us a little bit about the ingredients, right? In the process of like actually putting the products together.
So I did some research on whatever was coming to me. Like, it was coming as downloads, and all of my recipes I came up with by myself. Everything that I make, I made it. I started off making it all like I improvised a lot and ended up getting everything right on the first time. I haven't changed it since the first time I made any of it. So the way that the butter came out is very rich, and I haven't changed that or altered that at all. Syrup as well. All of the ingredients in the products are organic, natural, and some of them are like the shea butter is from Africa. All of the oils that I infuse the products with are organic and natural, and it's all handcrafted by me. I don't do any manufacturing at any big, large business. It's super small, super homegrown, if you will.
What is like the most popular thing that you have that people should go check out, like that they should go look at immediately when they go to your website? What do the people love?
Butter first, and then people go after syrup and then coffee. But butter is the most purchased item from the skincare line. And I think it's because of the fragrance.
I've worn it. It's really great out of the shower. Makes your skin feel luscious. We want to encourage all of y'all to go check out Cafe de la Hue. We've got information in the episode notes on how you can go purchase it. You can also go to cafedelahue.storenv.com. Before we go, though, I'd love to have you give some advice for people who are kind of like thinking about wanting to get started as entrepreneurs, or who are doing their own small business like yourself. Like, what is some advice that you'd give to someone who wants to be where you are, doing what you're doing?
Honestly, just believe in yourself, trust in yourself, and go with whatever it is that's coming to you. Because I ran this idea past family members, and, you know, it was shot down until I did it on my own. And I started to just really pour into it. And it was something that I wanted to see. It's something that I wanted to use. It was something that I created for me, and people loved it. And so don't give up. Do as much research as possible, because you don't want people out here like breaking out and all those things. You want to make sure that everything's in alignment, and make sure that you invest in yourself accordingly.
All right, y'all can check out Donnie's products at cafedelahue.storenv.com. The link is in the episode notes. Important note: independent retailers are not Amazon. You're not going to be getting these things the day before you order them. So make sure you have some patience. Know that folks are like handcrafting these things and sending them to you. So be thinking about that as you're getting ready for the holiday season. Donnie, we appreciate you being here. And I hope some folks too will check out your products.
Yes, go get some.
Thank you,
y'all.
Donnie.
I'll see
Period.
You later.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're getting into some complex and complicado of gift giving and receiving. As Negroidian Friday is upon us. Fanti's coming right back. Don't go anywhere.
Not Negroidian Friday. This episode of Fanti is brought to you by Dipsy. Now listen here. Self-care is important. But in between meditation sessions and trips to the yoga studio or nail salon, how often are you taking care of all of your needs? You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. Transport your mind to a world where you can relax and treat yourself to your deepest desires with Dipsy.
Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women.
Ooh, I think the hair on the back of my neck just stood up.
But you had those lasered off. What are you talking about?
Well, I had the ones on my chin.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Dipsy brings scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Find stories about intriguing coworkers with a British accent or hooking up with your hot yoga instructor and getting into that downward dog, if you know what I'm talking about.
Or maybe
about.
Your laser attendant, you know, because how you doing?
Oh, shout out to the erotic anthology. How you doing? Radically inclusive, Dipsy has stories for straight and queer listeners, and 56% of stories are voice acted by people of color, which I actually love knowing. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/fanti. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsestories.com/fanti. That's dipsystories.com/fanti.
Santa Claus ain't got no this.
Welcome back, beautiful people. That was just a bit of Kirk Franklin and the family's classic holiday jingle. And as you heard them say, this time of year, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yeah.
Hold on, hold on. Let me stop you, because that is not of the Lord.
It's close enough of the Lord.
I rebuke it in the matchless mighty... Go ahead. Go
what? On. Jesus is the reason. Nah. For the season, yeah.
Nah.
That's what they said, not me. Anyway, for those of you not familiar with what comes after such a strong declaration in that song, let me learn you something, okay? The soloist says, I don't need material things. It's a nice deep voice. That's all I'm just trying to say. Okay.
I don't need.
There you go. There you go. You got it, friend.
Material things. All I need.
There you go.
And the love you bring. Sing.
Period.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. So that's what the soloist says. I don't need material things. All I need is the love you bring. This holiday, I came to say that Jesus is the only way. Before our conversation today, I want to zero in on that first line. I don't need material things. While Jesus may be the reason for the season, a whole lot of gift giving happens around this time of year. And I want to tell you a story about one of God's greatest gift givers, okay? Her name was Dorothy Montgomery Holmes, okay? She was a local pastor in Charleston, South Kakalaki, who had a heart mostly made of collard greens and neck bone, okay? At once warm and comforting and caring. And when it came to the holidays, she was fiercely committed to making sure that just about everybody she knew got a gift during the holidays. From her neighbors, to the post office attendant, to that person who she only ever really saw a couple times a year in passing, okay? She was so committed that throughout the year, she'd be buying all of these random trinkets and gifts. She'd put them all in a closet in her home, and then after Thanksgiving, she'd slowly pull them out and begin wrapping every single item, okay? Hundreds of stuff, y'all. Socks and Axe deodorant and baby dolls and Hot Wheels and action figures and sweaters and anything else that she could find at, like, a Family Dollar or the As Seen on TV store in the mall. Now, mind you,
love that store.
This is in addition to the gifts she'd have for her actual big-ass family. She had, like, 8 or 9 kids herself, probably, like, 30 grandchildren. She'd wrap all of these gifts, though. She put names on the ones she knew were for specific people, and all the others, she put them in her trunk. And when she was out and about and came into contact with somebody, she'd go to her trunk and give them one of the unmarked gifts. She did this every single Christmas until her death. So much so that we often called her Mrs. Claus, because she just had a gift for everybody.
Hold on. Here comes a reveal that nobody sees coming. No one knows what you're about to say right now. Hit it.
Oh, I hate you so much.
All this build up for a reveal that has got to shock the girls. Give it to us.
That woman, Dorothy Montgomery Holmes, was my granny, okay?
What? Carry on. Go ahead on, granny.
You know what, Jared? You are very unserious right now, and I don't like you for it.
Sorry. Santa Claus ain't got nothing on this.
Okay, back to my monologue. I have always maintained that my grandmother's style of gift giving was absurd, even if it was, you know, ultimately harmless. And that is because, for me, gift giving requires thought and intention. It's not a, you know, seemingly indiscriminate process for me. And so I don't really be giving gifts like that. If you've gotten a gift from me, Jared Hill, you should be grateful. You should be thankful because I put some thought into that. Okay, now this applies to me, you know, this applies for me to, you know, Chris Mahana Kwanzaa, this moment that we are in right now, but also to birthdays and graduations and weddings and, you know, whatnot, okay? And we can talk later about gift receiving, and I know we will. With the holidays among us, I thought it'd be great to dive into the complex and complicado of giving gifts. I'll let you respond now. You've had this look on your face for the last 45 seconds in particular.
I was just wondering how you were breathing. It was just so much to read there. Swish messaged us here in the chat, like, worst erotica ever. And I agree. I typically have never been into the granny erotica, but, you know, everyone's got their thing. So I'm here for it. shout out to our friends at Dipsy. Okay, Travelle, so what's the best gift that you've ever given then?
I knew this question was coming, and like normal, I did not prepare to answer it, so I'm processing it in this moment. I think, I'll put it this way, one of my favorite gifts that I've ever given actually happened recently. My mother's birthday was back in September, and she had planned this trip for herself to New York City, her first time going to the Big Apple. And I gifted her and my father tickets to a couple Broadway shows. And I chose one show for them and one show, let's just say, for me. I sent them to MJ the Musical, the Michael Jackson musical.
Fantastic show.
I haven't seen it, but it's a jukebox musical. You can't go wrong with, you know, my parents are children of the 70s, late 60s and 70s. Like, Michael, right up their alley. I knew they would enjoy that. And then I bought tickets to see A Strange Loop, which we had Michael on the show. Was that last week? Week before last?
Mm-hmm. Last week.
I knew that A Strange Loop would be a particular experience for them, and it hit the way I wanted it to hit. And so for me, I think that's one of the best gifts that I've ever given. It hit for them in a way that conversations that we've had about some of the themes in that musical have not hit.
I'm thinking about having done something similar to that with my parents, and it not hitting. I may have told this story on the show before, but when I came out, the song, what is the song from camp? Here's Where I Stand.
Here's Where I Stand.
And
Here's Who I Am.
Right. Here's Who I Am.
Sorry.
Yes. I remember, like, I come out to my mom, and that song, I had been playing it on loop, and I know I've talked about this on the show
before. Yes.
But, like, I played her, like, the clip from the movie of the performance, and, like, was like, okay, this is gonna really explain, like, where I'm coming from.
And it did.
And I played it for my mom and my stepdad, and my mom was like, so what am I supposed to get from that? And I was like, you know what? I'm out. I was devastated. But anyway, my favorite gift that I've ever given, I would say, would probably be recently. My bestie Jared and I had, like, a really long, in-depth conversation one day on the phone. And, like, I remember them saying something to me on the call and, like, taking a note because I wanted to say something to them when they were done.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were sharing with me about their own non-binary journey and, like, embracing their pronouns and all that. And so I had written down, like, a bullet point and a bullet point and a bullet point because, as you know, I'm an interrupter and I try not to interrupt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that was aggressive and rude.
Again, affirming you, friend. Affirming you.
Support me, bitch! but I also started taking down bullet points and I was like, oh, I really want to make sure that I say this to Jerry on the phone. And so, like, I'd had all of those bullet points on a post-it and I sent a photo of it. And I was like, you know, I just want you to remember this conversation and how it impacted us. And, like, and it was a moment for us. And then I framed that post-it and gave it to Jared as a gift when I saw them next. And so it was something that I kept here for a long time until I was in New York. But I remember giving it and it hitting. I'll put it that way. It resonated and I felt like I had done something real good.
That's so sweet. I love that. We've got an anecdote here that I would love to share from producer Swish about the best, one of the best gifts, one of her favorite gifts that she's given. I'm just going to read it for verbatim of how she wrote it. Producer Swish's mom has back issues. So one year she got her mom one of those percussive massage guns. Mom loved the gift. It helped her back. The problem? She always refers to it as the vibrator that her daughter gave her. Swish had to constantly correct Linda. It's a massager!
I mean, that's what they call vibrators. Massagers.
Right, right.
Major air quotes.
Okay. So, those are the stories of, like, the gifts that we really enjoyed giving. But I know you, when we were preparing this episode, you mentioned that you don't feel like you're a good gift giver.
When I have to, like, go out and buy something for someone as a gift, I don't feel really confident about that. Mm. Like, having to choose things for other people is a sincerely anxiety-inducing situation for me. I sent you a gift yesterday.
You did.
And having to sit and think about, like, what to choose, what I'm supposed to get, what would this person like? Because I always hear, like, oh, give the gift that you would love to receive. And that's what I remember hearing when I was younger. But I actually don't think that's as good a suggestion now that I'm older. It's like, give the thing that the person would want to receive or that would resonate with the person. And so, like, if it's just, like, if sometimes it's not even, like, gift giving. It's having people over for dinner. And I'm like, what am I going to serve these people? Mm. The giving to other people thing always makes me think about, like, what would they want? How would they feel about that? Would it mean something to them? That kind of thing. And so I never feel like a great gift giver. I think the people that receive the gift sometimes might think that it was a good gift or that I did a good job, but it certainly doesn't feel like something that I'm good at. Do you feel like you're a good gift giver?
I'm going to answer that in give me 3 minutes. You did give me a gift. I will say that's a gift last night on the day that we are recording this. You bought me dinner and you did a great job picking out some wonderful Chinese food for me to pig out on in the best of ways. And I deeply appreciate that, as I told you last night. For me...
You didn't tell me that. You actually didn't even tell me that it arrived. I had to follow up with you and say, hey, did it even get there? I don't know. I mean, I got the notification.
While you are correct that I did not tell you it arrived.
That's the word.
I did say on the phone with you, thank you, and that I was very grateful when you gave me the update about it being delayed. And I thought that was sufficient, but I'm hearing from you now that it was not, friend.
I'm really just giving you shit because it was data, but even the data by itself doesn't really true, like, because we were on the phone, right? So, like, it was coming, but anyway.
You asked me if I think I'm a good gift giver. I do think I'm a good gift giver, but I think that's also because I don't give gifts a lot. And when I'm giving a gift, it's because I deeply feel like it is something that person will use, will appreciate. Like, I'm not trying to give you nothing that's going to, you know, end up in the re-gift pile or worse, go straight in the trash can once I leave, right? I've given you those coasters with, like, Marsha P. Johnson's face on it and James Baldwin's face on it or whatever. So I have some at my own home. That was Christmas a couple years ago or something like that. But, like, I knew that that would be something that would be, like, that you would use, right? And that, or at least I felt like that would be something that you would use that would add, you know, some interesting color and politic, you know, fit in well with your politic of your space and whatnot. The main gift that I give, and this is primarily to family, is money. I'm one of those girls, I'm just going to give you the money that would go to a thing because I know you know where to put these funds in terms of where you need them or where you want them.
Money and gift cards, I think, have gotten a very bad rap when it comes to gift giving, and I don't think it's fair.
It might be impersonal, but, like, if you Venmo me $100, $50, you know, I'm going to put it to use. I promise you that.
It's not going to stay in that Venmo account.
It's not.
I can tell you that.
Right? But if you gave me, I don't know, if you gave me something that I did not need, that I did not, at Travell Anderson is my Venmo handle, big purr, okay? In case you were wondering, happy holidays.
Hit the bells.
Let me ask this, though. What is a good gift? Is it about, for me, a good gift is about, like, I think I have a different good gift definition for when I'm receiving a gift and versus when I'm giving a gift. For me, when I'm giving a good gift is something that I have taken the time to put thought behind, that based on our relationship, I have a 99.99% confident chance that you are going to love, appreciate, use, whatever positive word we want to put in there. That's kind of the definition for me when I'm giving a gift. And I think for me, when I'm receiving a gift, a good gift is money.
I saw you getting ready to say that, and I was like, bitch, you better not say money. Because I knew that's what you were about to say. I knew it.
I hate me too. I really, really do.
I think a good gift is typically reflective of, like, how you've thought about it, right? Like, if you're giving money to someone who, like, it would enjoy it or, like, wants it, great. But if you're giving money to someone who would feel that was impersonal, then it's probably not a great gift, right? Like, for my mom and my stepmom, they're both people who like to shop, right? We can talk about how similar my mom and my stepmom are at a different time. But, like, I know that they both like to shop. And so, like, getting them a gift card to the stores that they like is thoughtful and it's giving them money, right? And, like, it's effective in that way. I think a bad gift is a gift that is more about the gift giver than it is about the receiver. That's how I think of, like, a bad gift. How do you think about, like, a bad gift, something that you would not want to give or receive?
Well, I don't know, because I feel like sometimes you can put some intense thought into something and feel like it is a good gift for someone based on all of the information you have, and then you give that gift and the person is like, okay. Or the person is like, oh, I already got two of these. And so, like, you know, and you didn't know that, but, like, damn, you know, like, I think it maybe it's not bad, but it definitely, like, takes the, I feel like with gift giving, there's a little bit of wind behind the gift giving, like the transfer of this item. And I feel like when it doesn't, quote unquote, hit in the way that one intends, at least, then it takes a little bit of wind out of it, especially if you put some intention right behind choosing something. I had this moment before one year where I had this idea that I stole from one of my white friends, well, my only white friend. He
there
likes
are white
to buy
people who know you that are listening, like, well, goddamn,
absolutely,
I'm not getting you a gift for Christmas.
And they weren't gonna give me one no way because they anti-black. You see how that happened? Anyway,
wow.
Just kidding, sort of.
Okay, I was gonna say they were anti-trans, but it is weird.
Anyway, he goes to, like, you know, farmers markets, flea markets, you know, the artisanal markets that happen around the holidays, and he buys up candles from, you know, these, you know, artisan makers or whatever, and he just gives out, like, that's his thing. He gives out candles to everybody that he's giving a candle to. He also does, like, a handwritten note and whatnot. And so one year, I did the same thing. I was like, oh, that's a really great idea. I went to two black-owned businesses, got all these candles I could get, gave out the candles, and then, you know, you find out that some people that you gave candles to, you know, they allergic to the scent or some shit. And it's like, well, damn, I just almost killed you. And I thought I was doing something nice.
Yeah, a gift that kills is probably going to go on the bad gift list. For me, I will say that I grew up knowing a woman that used to, like, find a product that she loved and would give them to everyone. Right? Like, it would be like, oh, I love this new popcorn, or I love this new product from, you know, whatever brand.
Is this an Oprah story?
I knew that it would sound like Oprah, but I'm actually talking about my grandmother.
Oh.
Right? Like, my grandmother was a big fan of Costco. She was a big shopper. And, like, I remember one year Neutrogena had come out with, like, this new, long bar of soap. Right. It was, like, this long bar of soap in this big, tall container. And it was huge. You cut it or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was the most random thing to give. But it was actually low-key really expensive, I think. And she was, like, just buying them and giving them to people because she loved it. Right. She was like, oh, this is my favorite soap. Like, it's so great. And I was like, Granny, you're giving people soap for Christmas? I don't think that works, but people loved it.
You know, I come from a family that believed in, you know, wrapping up some socks for a Christmas present. I also come from a family that for the longest, I have now since been delivered from this affliction. But when I was younger, okay, when I was still, you know, living that heathen cisgender life, I was a fan of Axe body spray and Axe deodorant and Axe body wash. Like, baby, I was in it heavy, okay? The green bottle, it was called Kilo. That was my thing. And so every holiday, every birthday, that would be the thing that, like, different family members, my grandmother or my auntie, would buy me in addition to socks. Even as I transitioned to, you know, Dove and whatnot, you know, some Irish Spring, they were still buying me this, like, Axe body stuff. And, like, I had to legitimately tell them one year, I do not wear this anymore. Please stop giving me this gift.
I remember when I was a kid hearing that, like, buying those kinds of things for people, specifically soap and cologne and all that kind of stuff, it was not an appropriate gift to give people. And, like, I remember hearing people say, like, oh, that means, like, oh, that's about... someone could get that and think that you're saying that they stink or that they're dirty or that they need to moisturize or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. So, like, I never get that as a gift. But then my granny was giving everybody soap. So I didn't know, like, what to make of that.
I think there's an age situation here. Like, you know, I think there's also a story behind it situation, right? Meemaw, for the longest, I accepted my grandmother's Axe body spray and body wash for at least 4 Christmases. At least.
Mm.
Because I was like, she don't mean nothing by it. She thinks and believes that, like, this was who I was. I was very interested and very happy with my Axe stuff at one point. And so I accepted it because I knew that the thought there, right, was a positive one and was a good one. And then when I felt like the Axe body spray was becoming intentional, if you know what I mean, I was like, okay.
What I hear you saying is he wanted that, but they do not.
Big purr.
Right?
Big purr.
Travell was okay with that, but Travell, don't hit me with that bullshit.
I also wanted to say, though, really quickly, is that, like, the thing about giving, like, body butters and lotions and facial products and stuff as a gift is, like, people's skins are so different and unique. So, like, I wouldn't want to, you know, buy something that might, like, you know, throw that off. So that's something that's also in my head. But, like, what I'm hearing ultimately, right, in this conversation is that, you know, some do's and don'ts, if you will, of, like, getting gifts of people. You want to put the gift receiver first, right? You want to buy something that they will like, that they will enjoy, despite whether or not you yourself will like or enjoy it. Buy black. We didn't say that, but, you know, buy black and buy independent, you know, and queer and, you know, Latinx and, you know, all of them.
All of the straight white people are like, so just fuck anything that I make.
Well... Well, it depends on what it is.
That's not the message. It depends on what it is. I remember always hearing how, like, it's the thought that counts. And as a kid, I was like, no, it's not. Give me toys.
Right.
Right, like, and never thinking about what the thought was. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, it really is the thought that counts. I'm not always sure that it's better to give than to receive. But it is really great to give. I also enjoy receiving. That's versatility for you.
What about money? We should talk about money when it comes to gift giving. Like how much...
Like how much to spend?
Yeah, how much to spend. Is there a different, you know, pocket of money for a friend versus a family member? Like, how do you decide how much to spend on a person? Asking for myself, because I got questions.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, I think what's important for you to remember is you have two books coming out next year, so you can spend a lot of money on me.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. My presence is your gift every week, okay?
A gift or a burden, whatever.
Tomato, tomato.
I see Swish nodding her head. That you're welcome to spend a lot of money on her as well. That's what I saw that head nod. Yes, that's what that was. Okay. So what's interesting to me about gift giving and spending is like when you're buying a gift for someone else, I don't think you should be thinking about whether or not they're getting you a gift or how much they're spending unless you have made a decision with the person that we're doing Secret Santa, right? We're spending $20 or $100 or whatever the amount is, right? And then, like, when the people that are in, like, a Secret Santa moment do that and they go over the limit, it's like, I know you think that you're doing something good, but you're really not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're making the other person feel like they did something inadequate. So I think spending on gift giving is really more so about being thoughtful about the person that you're giving to and, like, how you're going to be doing that.
I don't...
Oh, you don't agree. You're having a hard time. I saw your face doing all types of shit.
I agree with the ultimate idea, right? Which is that, like, you know, it's about the gift itself. It should be more about the gift than it is about the price tag. However, comma, there are some people, no matter how much I love them, there is a cap on the gift. There, and I don't know what that cap is, but there's a cap. Like, there's a there's a group of people who I love who you get in. If I'm giving a gift, that's the caveat. If I'm giving a gift, $50 tops. And it makes me, I hate that I even said it, but there is a part of me that is looking at the price tag and is thinking about the price tag in relation to something. I don't know what it's in relation to, but it's in relation to something.
So I don't do that because I don't know how many gifts this person has to buy, right? And how many people they're giving to and all that type of shit. I think about, Swish has a question here, and I think it's a good one. It says, if you were in an office or had regular coworkers, are you someone who gets everyone something, even if it's the same gift, or is that not your thing?
No.
And like... You and I will oftentimes go to like a press event or a screening or whatever. And there's like a gift bag with a whole bunch of shit with the logo on it.
Yes.
That's how it would feel for me as a giver. Like, oh, I don't know if this person would feel like this was generic and like I hadn't thought about them. I don't know. Swish, this question is hard for me because I'm also like, I haven't worked in an office in a long time. And like, I remember when I was on the news every day, like, I didn't do that for our newsroom because it was too many people, right? And, like, we would, like, cook and do, like, a potluck or something. And, like, I remember having, like, a bake-off with someone, with one of our anchors on the show. And, like, that was how we, like, kind of brought something to the office to give to people. But, like, I'm not going to give, like, gift cards to the whole office, right? That's a lot of money. I don't know how people would afford that. I don't know how people do that. Do you give gifts to the whole office, Travelle? Because Laura's asking this for her. Laura wants to know what she's getting for Christmas.
I have never been that girl who gives gifts to an entire group of anybody. No shade. Like, in my friend group, right, there are some of you who got gifts last year and some of you who didn't, right? Who got, like, you know, and this year there will be some of you who get gifts and there'll be some of you who don't. Hell, maybe none of y'all will. And so I've never really been that girl. If I'm going to give a gift, I'm going to give it to, you know, my Judy, right? Like my BFF, you know, who I'm spending all these hours with not working. But most of us, we don't like all our coworkers like that. Even people on your direct team, you don't be liking like that. We love Laura Swisher, for the record, but I'm just saying.
I was going to say, Laura and I are sitting here, we're both DMing each other like, girl, what you think you going to get from Travelle? Nothing. Me neither, girl. That's We're having a conversation on the side while you're talking, so it's fine. We want to hear from y'all. Hit us up on social media using the hashtag FantiFam. Tell us what you think about gift giving and whether or not you think Travelle should be giving us a gift. Wow. We're on Twitter and Instagram at FantiPodcast. Coming up, why y'all hate us so much and listener feedback, but it's a little bit different this time. We're getting into the suggestions that y'all have had for buying black. We're going to get into that and our dishonorable mentions. We're coming right back.
I'm sure you've noticed how giant corporations are controlling more and more about what we consume, whether it's our food, our news, or even the shows we enjoy.
The Greatest Generation is a show that stands up to big Star Trek and says no. We can laugh about costumes that fit too tightly in the groin area.
We can make a Star Trek podcast that's basically only about that.
The Greatest Generation. The show for free and independent thinkers about Star Trek.
And the groins of different costumes.
Reviewing every episode in order.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org. You'll be doing your part in telling the Star Trek industrial complex that they can't control your mind.
Hi, it's Kevin from MaxFun HQ. This year for Giving Tuesday, we're inviting you to a super fun tarot event. It's got some of your favorite Max Fun hosts, and it's for a great cause. Join Depression Mode's John Moe, Carrie Poppy of Ono, Ross & Carrie, Stuart Wellington from The Flophouse, Tom Lum from Let's Learn Everything, and Ellen Weatherford of Just the Zoo of Us. Your suggested $10 donation supports National CASA GAL and their work advocating for kids in foster care. That's this Giving Tuesday, November 29th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check out MaximumFun.org/events for more information and tickets to the Tarot Show with John Moe.
Welcome back, beautiful people. We're going to get into our listener feedback segment, but for the rest of the year, maybe, question mark, we'll see. But definitely for this episode, we want to highlight some of the recommendations that you all have been sending us for Black-owned businesses in your neck of the woods that folks might be interested in checking out to support this holiday season. And this first one is coming from Matt. Matt sent us an email and said, my name is Matt, he, him pronouns, and I'm a Fanti fan and backer. Shout out to you, Matt. I love your show and I'm always playing clips for my girlfriend so we can discuss issues you bring up and so she can appreciate Travelle's sass and Jared's exasperation. I love that those two words are our, you know, our,
right?
Are the adjectives used. I love that for us. I just finished the Based on a True Story episode when you asked people to send in Black-owned businesses. I wanted to share the business of a friend here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Nisha Blackwell, who runs Knotts Land, KNOTZLAND, where she and a talented group of makers create bespoke bow ties and accessories from upcycled fabrics. Nisha is amazing and has been featured in Google and YouTube ad campaigns, as well as being an incredible Black female artist and entrepreneur here in Pittsburgh. Her website is below. You can find her work at Knotts Land. Again, that's KNOTZLAND on Instagram. And it's knottsland.com. I love this suggestion. If you are a bow tie user, and I say that in that particular way because I know, you know, some of the ladies and some of the ladies out there like to wear them's a bow tie. These bow ties are really cute in the fact that they're kind of, you know, eco-friendly because they're upcycled fabrics. I really, really love.
That's what's up. Okay. It is now time for us to get into our dishonorable mentions. These are the stories or people that caught our attention this week that deserve a call out either for their good or for their stupid. Travelle, you want to start?
So, you know, I'll say all three of my honorable mentions this week are somehow connected. We'll see if I, you know, thread the needle fairly well or not. I'll start by saying the New York Times is still platforming anti-trans rhetoric and anti-trans reporting. It's been an issue for a little minute. Trans folks, non-trans folks have been talking about it for some time, and yet this alleged paper of record in this country continues to, you know, do very poor coverage of trans communities and trans-related issues, all under the guise of the problematic both sides journalism, all under the guise of we're just asking questions. But there is a very real connection between this type of reporting that happens, not just at the New York Times, but I am focusing on them in particular because they had a story published earlier this week, a quote-unquote investigation into puberty blockers that causes real world harm. I bring this up specifically, though, because it always makes me think of the work that I do in NABJ. And you might be asking how NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists, factors into a conversation about anti-trans reporting that the New York Times continues to do. And I say with my full chest that the reason why we need entities like NABJ, NAHJ, SPJ, AAJA, JAWS, ONA, IRE, all of the journalism organizations to be intentional about the ways that they are making space for trans journalists in particular, but LGBTQ journalists more broadly, is because these organizations and these entities, if you care about journalism, you should feel a way about the type of reporting coming out of the New York Times. They obviously don't care enough about those of us who have been sounding the alarm thus far. And so if you are really down for the cause, if you're really down for what we say are these tenets of journalism, you too should be engaged in this conversation and this critique of the New York Times. And so NABJ, all of the other entities, please do better and please be more vocal about this anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ reporting because we are seeing it have very real impact in our lives. And it's interesting, right, that this New York Times story comes out because this week is Trans Awareness Week, an annual opportunity to recognize, uplift trans communities. It ends in Trans Day of Remembrance, a day meant to honor and uplift and recognize the lives that we have lost to anti-trans violence. And it is just so rich that this would be the week that this New York Times anti-trans piece comes out. I just find that really interesting timing, and, you know, I want to fight somebody. Also in trans news, an honorable mention to James Rosener out of New Hampshire. As you all know, the election happened earlier this week, or I guess last week at this point. We had already recorded our episode. James Rosener became the first out trans man elected to a state legislature in New Hampshire. I think that's interesting. I think that's wonderful. I think that's amazing. One more thing. I'm sorry. About the New York Times. It's tough also because I believe we need newspapers. We need the press. Like, I almost unsubscribed from the New York Times because they've been just pissing me off. And I should say, you know, not all New York Times reporters, you know, because it's not all of them. And there are wonderful, fabulous trans and queer people and non-queer and trans people who work there who I know and really enjoy their work. However, when it comes to the trans-related reporting, they don't got no trans people doing any of that type of storytelling, to my knowledge. Okay, I'm done for real.
Are you really?
For real, for real. I swear for God. We got to go. That was longer than I intended. I'm sorry.
All right, I want to give an honorable mention first off to Americans. I was very surprised last week when we saw things go down the way that they did with the election. And so shout out to specifically people who voted for Democrats. I just want to be really clear about the Americans that I'm talking about.
I was about to say, like, hold on now.
I was going to say, because there was a whole lot of y'all that didn't, right? And so shout out to the American people that voted for Democrats, but more specifically for, like, democracy. Whole other conversation. I want to give a shout out to a couple of shows that I've watched this weekend or over the last week. I've been able to, like, consume content a little bit more lately. First things first, I want to shout out Tabitha Brown has a new show on Hulu called It's Complicated. It's actually on Food Network, but you can see it on Hulu is where I've been watching it. For those of you that love, like, shows like Chopped, where it is like a challenge, this show is that. And it is, I sent it to Jarrett because Jarrett, I'm always on the phone with Jarrett when I'm having a dinner party. And I'll be like, oh, should I do this? Or maybe I should do that. Or lately it's just been like, I'm going to order. But we are always laughing about when I'm having people over and there's like various different like food restrictions or allergies and those different kinds of things, and how challenging that can be when you're hosting people at your house. This show is that. Right. And so they always have like a picky eater who's on the show, and like, I don't like onions and I don't like sweets, or I don't like whatever. And so, and Tabitha is a part of the table. And so like, it is always going to be plant-based. There always needs to be plant-based consideration because she's at the table. And so check out It's Complicated, especially for those of you that love a dinner party or love a Chopped kind of scenario. You can check it out on Hulu. Also on Hulu, from Oprah Winfrey own, the folks over at Onyx, which is a new collective that is doing content that is specifically for telling the stories of Black and Brown people, that comes from Disney. The show is called The Hair Tales. It's hosted by Tracee Ellis Ross, who also produces on the show. And it is having a conversation about Black women and their relationship with their hair. It sounds like it is a show for Black women, but when you watch it, it is a show that really talks about what our hair means to us, not just Black women, but Black folks. But specifically on the show, we're talking about Black women and how Black women have had various experiences of like working with their hair, going to work with their hair, being out in the world with their hair, how it has affected them. The first episode is with Oprah Winfrey. The second episode is with Issa Rae. As a person who loves Oprah, this is the first time in a long time I've heard her tell stories that I have not heard before, because I've heard a million of them. So please go check that out. There's also a documentary that I just watched on Hulu called God Forbid, The Sex Scandal That Brought Down a Dynasty. Now, I did not know how interesting this story was going to be until I got into it. But if you're on Hulu, check out this documentary. If you remember, there was this story that had to do with the religious right, with Liberty University, with Donald Trump, and more specifically, it had a lot to do with Jerry Falwell Jr. It is a scandalous story of Jerry Falwell Jr. and this relationship that he and his wife had with a third in the relationship while they were running this religious university. It is something else. God Forbid on Hulu. Go check that out. And then lastly, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who is working in Georgia right now, and I on the Warnock campaign. And I asked, is there a way that we can tell in the data how voter suppression has impacted this most recent election? And as we see Raphael Warnock going into a runoff with Herschel Walker, I was curious about that. But I also felt clear when I asked the question that it was probably no. And so I just want to give a dishonorable mention to all of the vote suppressors, if you will, because I think about how this election that just happened, we will never have data on the people who showed up to go vote and the line was wrapped around the block and they didn't have the time and they kept driving and had to go back to work. We will never know how many people were affected by the laws that went into effect in Georgia, like not being able to pass out water to people who are waiting in line. We won't know. And so that just really irked me as I thought about this election and as we're looking at all the demographics of who was voting and where they were voting and all the exit polling data and all that kind of information. And so I've been thinking about that a lot as well. All that said, it is now time for us to move on to
Black History is happening every day. All right, so historically Black colleges or universities, HBCUs, as you all should know, they are primarily in the South. You know, the historical ones, you know, are in the South. These were schools created because some of y'all's racist great-great-grandpappies wouldn't let us into their institutions of higher learning. Many of these places there have undergraduate and graduate programs. What you might not know is that Los Angeles has its own historically Black medical school, Charles R. Drew University of Medicine and Science. They were founded in 1966, particularly in response to inadequate medical access within the Watts region of Los Angeles, California. It is named after a Black physician from the early and mid 20th century who focused on blood banking and blood plasma storage and transfusion, Charles R. Drew. He was also a distinguished surgeon and chair of surgery at Howard University. Well, as of last month, that school, which is still open, received preliminary approval for accreditation officials from accreditation officials to start taking applications for its own medical school program. You might be saying to yourself, how is it a medical school and it doesn't have a medical school program? Well, apparently their current medical degree program is a partnership with UCLA. And so students do 2 years at UCLA, 2 years at Charles Drew, and then they graduate with their medical degree. With this new approval, students will be able to do all 4 years of the medical degree program at Charles Drew if they wish. Now, the only other historically Black colleges and universities that have medical programs are Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta, Meharry Medical College in Nashville, and Howard University in Washington, D.C. I thought this was a really interesting story, so I wanted to shout it out.
I love this. We have some good friends who are alum and trustees and stuff over at Charles Drew. So shout out to all the folks over at Charles Drew who are doing really, really great work and moving the culture forward over there. So we appreciate that. If this conversation piqued your interest and you want more of this here,
good.
Check out other episodes that have a related conversation. Now, I want to tell you, this conversation is actually related to some things that I've been talking about in the world with friends and like Travelle and I have been talking about. But we did this episode called Trailblazer Fatigue, which is about firsts, about like the tiredness that comes along with always being the first. And as we're talking about Charles Drew, as we're talking about entrepreneurs and people kind of like exploring like the different ways that they could do it, I actually have been thinking about this Trailblazer Fatigue episode. So I'm actually going to suggest that. Y'all will be fine. We thank y'all for listening. If you are listening on a platform that allows you to rate or review the show, we ask that you leave us a 5-star rating and give us a review. Hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think about the show. We really appreciate it, and it matters to us. If you have a comment or a suggestion about this week's show, we're at Fanti Podcast on the Instagram machine and on the Twitter machine, at least for now. And so we'll see what Elon is talking about. You can use the hashtag FantiFam, and we can jump in and see your conversation. Or you can shoot us an email to Fanti@MaximumFun.org.
You can also use that email if you would like to submit some Black business gift suggestions. We are looking for them, and we'll be shouting them out on the show in the next few weeks. As always, you can become a financially contributing member of the Fanti Fam. Join at MaximumFun.org/join. Our music is brought to you by the one and only Corice. That's Core.ece, wherever you get slate-worthy audio. Our graphics are by Ashley Wynn and the folks over at Moonhouse Creative. And our editor is Nihar Patel.
Our senior producer is Laura Swisher. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.
More Fanti after the break. More Fanti coming up. Fanti's gonna be right back. Fanti after this. More Fanti in a moment. Fanti returns after this.
Is it painful when you get stuck in your broadcaster, you know, mindset? Is it painful?
It is.
Yeah, it's painful for us too.
Support me, bitch!